There was a song that people used to sing, a hymn that said, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." You remember that? Well, sometimes people say, yeah, heaven, you know, when do you go to heaven? And where is heaven? What's heaven like? Will everybody be the same in heaven? We've already looked and said that when we talk about spending eternity with Jesus Christ, that everybody's not going to be the same. Because based on your service here will be your place of responsibility and, in a sense, service there. So we raised a couple of questions that I want you to think about. First of all, where is heaven? And second is, what will we do when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that will be. So let's start with this question. Where is heaven? A lot of times we think, well, heaven is in the clouds and the heavenly places. We know this, that Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, walked on the earth 40 days, and ascended into, as the Bible calls it, the heavenly places. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. We know that if we were to die, to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. Where is that? In the heavenly places, okay? So a lot of people historically, when you think about dying and eternity, they say things like, we just want to go to heaven. You go back to the Old Testament, they never thought about going to heaven. They didn't say heaven. They said, we want to be in the kingdom. Exactly. And so when you start thinking about it, we say heaven. For those of us who are the church, the body of Christ, if you were to die, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. One day, Jesus is going to come in the clouds, take us off the face of the earth. We'll be with him. And then he's going to come back to the earth for a 1,000-year reign. And so after we die and are raised again and are with Jesus, we will come to this earth and rule for 1,000 years. There will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. So when we start talking about where are we going to spend eternity, the first aspect of eternity is the kingdom. The Bible calls it the eternal kingdom. In the book of Revelation, it's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and so we call it the millennial kingdom. And so when we talk about heaven, we're going to be in the heavenly places for a short time compared to eternity, because Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is over, there's a thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. When that is over, he makes a new heavens and a new earth, and there is the city called New Jerusalem, as found in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and we will live there forever. So heaven really, eternal, what we've always said, heaven is a new heavens and a new earth, a new world, a new Jerusalem, and we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. So that's what we're talking about. So when we talk about what's going to happen when we die, well, the truth is for those of us in the church age, the body of Christ, to die right now, you're in the heavenly places with Christ. But when he comes back as the king, and from that point on, 1,000-year reign on this earth, and then an eternal reign on a new heavens and a new earth. And so that's the key. New Jerusalem, that kind of thing. Now, second question, and this is the big one. What will we do? What will we do for all eternity? Well, Revelation 22 verses 3 and then 5 says, we will serve him. So when the idea, and I've had people say to me, you know, I'm not even sure I want to go to heaven. I thought, well, what do you mean by that? Well, because in their mind, heaven was like, you're up in the heavenly places and it's just clouds and angels and you just sort of sit there and you're just sort of around and maybe eat a Snickers bar or something like that. You know, who knows? What are you going to do? And I've had people say, well, I think heaven sort of will be boring. Listen, the heavenly places with Christ, we're going to be rewarded there at what we call the judgment seat of Christ. But then we'll be 1,000-year reign on this earth and an eternal reign on a new heavens and a new earth. And what will we do? We'll not be sitting around. Based on your service for Christ now, you'll have places of responsibility in that place. And we will serve him for all eternity. And that's the bottom line. And that's why it's important how we live now. And we all know that most believers, I mean, I don't mean it in a bad, bad way, but most believers, their lives aren't counting for Christ. I mean, people that trust Christ, they have eternal life. They know they have eternal life. But many of them are so caught up, and we're going to talk about it in Sunday morning because we're going to talk about the world this morning in John 15. The last of our three-part study of John 15 deals with our relationship to the world. And there's so many believers that are caught up in the world and they're being conformed to the world that they don't really even think about really living for Christ and their life counting for him and serving him and then one day hearing him say, well done. And so I hate to say it, but I think there'll be a number of believers that when they get there, as according to 1 John, they'll be ashamed it is coming. And I'm not trying to do that to make people sad. When I look at this group, I don't think you're going to be ashamed it is coming. You're the people that are taking the gifts, talents, and abilities, and you're touching lives for Jesus Christ. So you're probably going to hear him say, well done. That's what we all hope, and we're all going up there going, please say it, please say it. I hope you say, well done. You know, that's the way we think about it. So we're going to serve him for all eternity. Now, here's the kingdom. We talked about it last time. We said there are crowns, there are treasures, and then there's the aspect of ruling with Christ. When he comes to this earth and we are with him for 1,000 years, what the goal is to rule with him. But not every Christian will rule with him. Ruling with him deals with his kingdom and places of responsibility. We want to rule with Christ. Whether we do or not is based on faithfulness. By faithfully serving Christ, we will rule with him in the kingdom and in the eternal kingdom or the eternal state. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Where the writer to Hebrews is encouraging these believers, because what's happened to them is they started really good and then they quit. And he's encouraging them and said, don't quit. Don't quit now, because you want to be a partner with Christ. You want to rule with Christ. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, take care, brethren, that there not be any of you of evil with an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Now, falling away from the living God as a believer doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you're not in fellowship. You're not growing. You're not producing fruit. You're not serving him. You're out of fellowship. Listen, when somebody sees a verse that says fall away from the living God, historically people teach you lose your salvation. Listen, he gives you what when you believe? Eternal life. How long does that last? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you're saved forever. You may fall away from the living God. You may not grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You may not serve him. You may get into sin. You may live unrighteously. That's what these believers were doing. And so he writes on and says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, that so none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will get in and mess everything up. And then look at verse 14, because this is the one. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance until the end. In other words, if you're growing, if you're serving, if you're connected with him, you are a partaker with Christ. And if you remember, we talked about this. Partaker is the Greek word metakoi. It means a partner, partnership. If we hold fast, if we are faithful, we are partners with Christ. That means when he sets up the kingdom and he gives out positions of responsibilities, you will be a partner with him in service in the kingdom. There are going to be believers who aren't partners with him. This is a group. It's called metakoi. It's the partnership. It's the ones that are connected. Doesn't mean we don't have eternal life. It doesn't mean you're not in the kingdom. It means you're not ruling with him. In 2 Timothy, he actually says, if we are faithful, we will rule with him. It says that. If you're not faithful, you won't rule with him. So he says, we're going to be partakers of Christ. Now, here's a great comfort that I want you to remember as you're following along with this thing. Let's see. I guess we're on page 2. Y'all know what you're doing. You're following it. Okay, here's a great truth, because some of you said, well, listen, you know, I did this and I've done this, and in some years I kind of faded away for a while, then I've come back, I've done this. Listen, here's a great truth. You cannot lose the rewards that you've gained. You cannot lose your service and rewards for Jesus Christ. If you've served him, anything you've ever done in the power of the Holy Spirit for Jesus Christ as a faithful believer, you will have rewards from him. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to rule with him in righteousness and justice in that kingdom, but you're going to be rewarded. In fact, we've already talked about loss of rewards. And when we say loss of rewards, we're not saying, oh, you got rewards, but then he took them away from you. In 2 John 1:8, he actually says, but you will receive a full reward. Not everybody's going to receive a full reward. And so the bottom line is, he actually says, watch yourself that you will not lose and that you may receive a full reward. So when we stand before our Savior, we want to hear him say, well done, and you had this. I gave you this responsibility. You did this. Now I'm giving you this responsibility. That's what we all want. That's what that parable is all about. That's those things that we've seen. Listen to this. In Matthew 10:42, he says, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these little ones even a cup of water will not lose his reward. So anything done in the name of anything that we do in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, any service, you'll not lose reward. Every one of you in this room, in fact, in Second Corinthians, he talks about when you stand before Christ, and then each one of us will receive praise from the Lord. So the question is, what are you doing with the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to us? We want to receive a full reward. Well, we've been talking and we said, you know, there are crowns that are mentioned in the Bible, and then there's, he says, lay up treasure in heaven, and then we've been seeing ruling with him. Well, one of the most famous things is people always talk about crowns. And when you started the book of Revelation, there's these rulers around the throne of God. And they've got crowns on their heads, and then it says they take their crowns off and they set them before the Lord. And I think the whole emphasis is the crowns is their rewards. And what they're basically saying is, all the rewards I have is because of you. Think about this. If you serve Jesus Christ and he says, well done, how are you able to serve him? Who gave you the spiritual gifts to serve him? Who gave you the talents? Who gave you the abilities? Who gave you the power of the Holy Spirit? Who gave you the opportunities? He put you with fellow believers. Who gave you the word of God? He gave it all. So in reality, when you stand before Christ and he says, I got this for you, you really say, really, I didn't do anything. You did it all. Thank you so much. Right? That's really what it's all about. And so let's talk about crowns for just a minute. Let me look at the clock. Okay, I think we can get this done. There are at least four places in the scripture in which he calls things crowns, like a crown of righteousness, a crown of joy. So let's see them. Let me show you the four different crowns that are found in the Bible. The first one is called the crown of joy. Just quickly look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just flip over there. We'll go real quickly because I know it takes a little time sometimes to turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 19 and 20. Now, the crown of joy seems to be a reward that you get for leading people to Christ, telling people about Jesus Christ, sort of the reward for sharing your faith. Notice verse 19. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He says, for who, and he's talking about them, for who is our hope? Who is our joy? Who is our crown of exaltation? Is it not you? In the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming. When is he coming? Coming, and when he comes and we stand before him and get rewarded. He says, Jesus at his coming, you are our joy, our glory. So the crown of joy seems to be rewards that God will give to us when we tell people about Jesus Christ, when we lead people to Christ, and let me just tell you, your goal to receive that crown, I think, is not that people trust Christ necessarily, but that you're faithful to share your faith, because you can't determine whether they're going to trust Christ or not, but you can determine to be faithful. Let me say this, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and you know, it's real, real weird, but like a couple of weeks ago, in 1 week, I led 3 people to Christ. And that was wonderful. And I got all pumped up about it. And I kept saying, you know, I think I need to tell a lot more people. You know, what's so funny about it is when you start sharing your faith, and whether they trust Christ or not, when you start sharing your faith, it gets easier to do it. And see, there's a study out, and I told you I've read this like 10 times, 10 different places, that the average believer, that 85% of Christians never share their faith in their whole life. So ask yourself a question. Don't raise your hand or anything. When was the last time you told somebody else about Jesus Christ? You may say, well, I don't think I ever have. Or you may say, well, I think back when I was in 8th grade. Or, I mean, who knows? What we need to be doing is looking at every person as an opportunity to share our faith. I know it's scary. If you don't feel like you're able to do it, you meet with me. I'll train you individually, or I'll make sure you get in one of the classes. But we want you to be confident to be able to do it. Listen, you only have to know one verse. What is it? John 3:16, you can lead anybody to Christ. You can tell them the great truth. God so loved the world. God loved them that he gave his son, gave him to die and rise again, that whoever would believe, if you trust in him, you have what? Eternal life. That's the message. You already know it all. You don't have to have 17 ways to present it. You just give them John 3:16. And let me tell you, when you do that and somebody were to trust Christ, your whole life's going to be changed. We had a deal, and I'm going to do it real fast because we're running out of time. We had a thing at Dallas Seminary called the Day of Evangelism. Once a semester, every semester, they took groups of like 6 or 7 guys and a professor, and they divided up the city of Dallas, and you'd go to certain places and try to share your faith. Well, when we first get out of the car, we went in twos after we got out there, me and my best buddy, okay? And we said, okay, you go first. No, you go first. You go first. You. And so we're going up to the house. Know that we one of us. So we knock on the door, and then we share. Before the day is over, we're saying, it's my turn. No, I'm doing this one. No, I mean, we walked up to people at grocery stores. Hey, I got a question for you. See, so as the day went by, I could hardly wait to share my faith. When it first started, I was so scared I couldn't hardly do it. So you think about it right now. You say, well, the last time I shared my faith was 9 years ago. Okay, get on the stick, get trained, and share your faith. And before you know it, it'll start getting easier. And then you'll begin to look for opportunities. And you want a crown of joy. In Philippians 4:1, he says, you are a beloved one. You are our joy. You are my crown. That's what he says. So I think there's a crown for sharing our faith and a reward for sharing our faith. Let's look at the second one. The second one is called the crown of righteousness. Turn over to 2 Timothy, just a few books back toward the back of your Bible, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul at the end of his life. We all know what he's saying. He's talking about, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race and everything. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. And then watch what he says. In the future, there is laid up for me, what? The crown of, anybody reading with me? Crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What day? The judgment seat of Christ. And not only me, but to all who have loved his appearing. The Lord will reward. That day is the judgment seat of Christ. And this is called the crown of righteousness. The best we can tell, this is a reward for living righteously and godly, living according to the scripture, living your life in such a way that he's going to say, well done, that you live in such a way that, look what he says, I fought the fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I lived righteously and godly. I lived by the scripture. I wore my life to count for Christ. That's us. And one day we want to hear him say, here's a crown of righteousness because you lived righteously and godly. Wow. That's a powerful one. And you know, the bottom line is it goes back to more of brethren is required of stewards to be found faithful. That's it. Faithfulness. Faithfully living righteously. There's a third one. It's called the crown of life. Look, go over to the book of James. Just go a little bit further back after that. Go back past Hebrews and go to James chapter 1. And look at this one. Verse 12. This is called the crown of life. And he says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Trust God in the trials. For once he's been approved, he will receive the what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life seems to be a crown that when you trust God in trials, and everybody has trials, everything comes into our life, when you trust God in trials, and he will reward you. We all know that when something happens to us as believers, there's really two ways you can go. You can either trust God and say, Lord, I don't understand why that happened. I trust you. You're working in my life. It was something horrible. I don't even like it, but I just have to trust you. Or there's some people who say, if this is the way God's going to be, I have nothing to do with him. And sometimes they go that way. And the people who say, God, I just got to trust you doing this, and I'm not going to become bitter. I just want to live for you. I don't understand it, but I want to trust you. That's the crown, you know, of this. This is a crown, the crown of life. And without taking the time, because I looked at the clock, 1 Peter 3:17 and 4:14 and 16 all talk about when you suffer as a believer. We're going to talk about it this morning in John, because we're going into a fallen world that actually what? Hates us. The world's not neutral. The world's not your friend. The world's not for you. There's a fallen world system out there which is controlled by Satan, which affects this whole world. It affects us, and it's trying to pull us away from God and everything else. And we're going as believers into a world that is opposed to everything we stand for. And when you stand for Jesus Christ, you can expect to suffer. And if you suffer and trust him, you can get the crown of life. There's one more. It's called the crown of glory. Go to 1 Peter. Just flip over there to 1 Peter 5. And this is one that talks about shepherding the flock. Now, I'll tell you what that means in just a second. But look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you. And then he tells how to do it. And then look at verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is a crown of glory, and it seems to indicate those who shepherd the flock. Now, the first thought, who do you think of when you think of shepherding the flock? Me. But let me tell you, that I have a responsibility as the pastor, as a pastor, to shepherd the flock. But every one of us shepherd the flock. Every one of us touch lives for Christ. Every one of us in this room, you have friends, people that you know, that you invest your life into their lives. You're there for them. You help them grow. You help them when a trial comes. You're there with them. You're shepherding them. So this doesn't just mean the pastor of a church gets this crown. It's any of us who invest our lives into other people and help them. And it's those who shepherd the flock. And in this passage, he's actually writing to the elders, and he says, shepherd the flock and do this and do this and do this. And when the Lord, the chief shepherd appears, you're going to get unfaded crown of glory. He goes on and says, young men, do this. Older men, do this. Young women, do this. Older women, do this. I mean, he goes through the whole thing and starts talking about it. So let me tell you, every one of you shepherd the flock. Because they have gifts, talents, and abilities that you use to invest in other people's lives. And you're helping them. You're shepherding them. You're helping them grow. You're touching lives for Jesus Christ. So, as we stop and time is up, I want you to think about this. Number one, and this is the conclusion of this study, okay? I hope it's been an encouragement to you. But first of all, we're accountable to God. That doesn't always encourage people. Because we live in a world that doesn't want to be accountable to anything. Even Christians. But we are accountable. One day we'll stand before our Savior. Second, we are to go after rewards. We're to live in such a way that we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, that he gets the rewards. It is not selfish to go after rewards. He tells us, run the race so you what? Get the prize, okay? Third thing, we will be rewarded. I guarantee you, every one of you in this room, let me tell you something. Think about the person who stood out there just a while ago. I don't even know who's doing it today. And they're handing out bulletins. And they're saying, hey, great to see you. Thanks. And the people opening the front door. Hey, thanks to the guy picking up people up in the cart, the people who are putting out the donuts, people who are setting up the chairs, the people. All of those people are serving Jesus Christ. Do you think they'll be rewarded for that? Of course they will. Good gracious. And ministry, let me just say this. The whole idea of service it rarely takes place here. I mean, we come together on Sunday morning. We come together at Grow Group. We come together sometime on Wednesday nights. You might come together for a Bible study. The whole rest of the time, your ministry and life is out there touching lives. And you do something out there, you're just as rewarded as if you do something in here. Somehow people have this idea that only if you serve at the church does it count. Everything you do counts for our Savior. And then last but not least, what crowns are you gaining? Are you crowning the crown of joy, which is sharing your faith? If anything could change about any of us, especially me, is that I would share my faith on a regular basis. It's the greatest thing you can do. To see someone understand the truth of salvation, that it's not their works or their goodness or their faith, it's faith alone in Christ for eternal life. That we get to tell them the greatest message. You get the crown of joy. What about the crown of righteousness? That's living according to Scripture. We say, look, I'm a Christian. I want to live by the Word of God. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Scripture so I can be a righteous person. What about the crown of life, which is trusting God in trials? Every one of us in this room have trials. You could say, well, I don't have any. Well, you will. Don't worry. Just hang on just a little bit. You will have them. Everybody has them. Are we going to trust God or not? And last but not least, shepherd the flock, crown of glory, that you can do it as you help each other grow. So as far as the whole idea of rewards, I hope and pray for all of us that we'll be excited about treasure in heaven, crowns, being partners with Christ, serving him now so we can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant.